Let the entire church say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All
and all the time God is good. You know, that's just not a phrase. That is the truth. Because God is good. How would we have gotten up this morning if God was not good to us? How would we have slept last night if God was not good to us? How would our stomachs be full if God was not good to us? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. This morning, it's so good to see each and every one of you out. God has allowed us to be able to reach out from our house to come unto his house.
Amen.
This morning, as was heard earlier, we're going to speak on, are you in the light? Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer, first of all. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again. You have given us the ability to get up, dress ourselves, have the ability to use our limbs, our minds, and our bodies. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. Father, you gave us your Son, Jesus, to come down into this world to hang, to bleed, and to die, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray this morning and ask you to continue to give us your blessings as you see fit. We pray this morning, Father, for those who are grieving this morning, those who have lost loved ones, those who are sick and shut in, those who are raising their children this morning, and we ask that you give them the strength to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren that have taken part in the services thus far and their families. We pray for all of those who shall come from this point on. We pray, Father, that your will might be done in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Father, when we got up this morning, we were not sure that we would even get up, but you woke us up and we got up this morning, and our needs first thought should have been to head to the Church of Christ. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us. We pray for those who might be sick and shut in. We pray and ask you to continue to give them your blessing, that they may feel better and be able to be with us once again at the next appointed time. Thank you, O Lord, for blessing us this day and giving unto us the blessings of this day. Thank you, Father. Father, now we pray as we move on into this service that the things we do may be whole, holy and acceptable to thee, and that if they be found right with thee, that you would accept our worship service this morning. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. In the name of the one who went up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arm, and died for us, we say amen. The scripture was read from Philippians chapter 2. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Are you in the light? Light is defined as something that makes vision possible. Light is one of life's greatest blessings. Do you remember, and some of you may have to think a little farther back on this part, do you remember when you were a child how that when your parents cut off the lights, how you became afraid of the darkness? The darkness I speak of today is the darkness of spiritual, I'm speaking of spiritual darkness and spiritual light. Those who know God are in the light, where those who know not God are in darkness. John 1, 4 and verse 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. Are you in the light or are you in darkness? We are living in a dark world today. Before we met Jesus, we were living in spiritual darkness. But thanks be to God, light has come into the world, according to John 3:19, the second part of that verse. Love and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The gospel of Christ is light. Light is sweet and it rejoices the heart. Some men are so in love with sin and evil doings, they don't want the light to come to them. I'm saying that because it must be so today, as some men are so evil, they can't stand the light. This is why they don't want to talk or hear anything about the gospel. Turning to Christ would mean they would need to give up their evilness. They shut their eyes against the light. Job 21 and verse 14 said, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Men may not say it with their lips, but their ways and actions say so, with their hearts say so. This is a reason why one must be sure his or her light is not only on, but that it is also shining brightly. Another reason we need to shine our lights is to ward off Satan. You know, in Bible class this morning, we talked about putting on the whole armor of God so that we would be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. He hates the light. He will use all in his power to keep the light from shining into the darkened hearts of man. If you'll notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid from them that know not, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the men of the minds of them that which believe not, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who in the image of God with a big G should shine unto them. Christ came in to the world to save that which was lost, according to Matthew 18 and verse number 11. The only thing that can save the lost is Jesus. The gospel does not come in a generic version. There is but one gospel. It's the only gospel that can save this dark world. When only the best will do, it must be the gospel of Christ, which is his death, his burial, his resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. You know, some people like to try to take a shortcut to the gospel, and they wind up serving the doctrine of men, and the doctrine of men will never work. It'll never do. It won't work, and it just can't work. Amen. Only God has the real gospel. Christians need to draw nearer and closer to God. The farther one gets from God, the dimmer their light gets. And when we get too far, our lights eventually go out. Notice what our text tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Once again, it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. In other words, Paul is telling the people not to murmur and do things disputingly. Be careful in what your duty, be cheerful in doing your duty. Some folk, and I'm going to talk about the folk in the church right now. Some folk in the church need to reread that. In other words, they need to stop finding faults in doing their duties as Christians. Our light should shine in the service of the Lord, both in and outside of the church. You ought to be happy to do God's will. God is not looking for part-time Christians. A part-time Christian is the same as a part-time sinner. And God is a jealous God, according to Exodus 34 and 14. Thou shalt not worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Do you all remember in Judges chapter 16 the story of Samson? How that he was a man of great strength. He met a woman by the name of Delilah, whom he fell in love with. She decided to sell Samson out for some gold pieces. She persuaded him to tell her the secrets of his strength. After lying to her several times, Samson finally gave in and told her the truth. And when he went to sleep, she had another man come in and cut his hair. And his strength left him, and the Lord departed from him. He was no longer able to fight off his enemies. And I'm saying that to say when Christians let their light grow dim, when they get farther away from God, troubles often come their way. And the protection of God is gone from them. They find themselves beset by troubles. Darkness is upon them. It's time to get back to the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Whosoever believes on Jesus shall not abide in darkness, according to John 12 and 46. Now there are three things that a Christian needs in order to stay out of the darkness. When one ventures out on his own, when he doesn't have the light, he is taking an awful chance. For one knows not what a day may bring. This is why Proverbs 27 and verse number 1 tells us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There are three things one needs in order to face the darkness. Number one, one needs the Bible, for it is God's word, according to Psalms 119 and 28. My soul melt for the heaviness, strengthens thou me, according to thy word. His word will give strength to stay in the light. The Bible can encourage one when one is discouraged. The Bible instructs one in righteousness living. And it is the official word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. The word of God. Number two, what a Christian needs. We need to pray when we face the darkness. Pray that our light shine through and beyond darkness. Jesus said in Luke 18 and 1, man ought to always pray and faint not. I'm a big believer in that. I say that a Christian should always have a prayer close to his heart. He should always be willing to offer prayer. And a Christian without a prayer close to his lips needs to reconsider his mind and his ways and his heart. Jesus said men ought to always pray and to faint not. What are we to pray for and about? Well, the Bible tells us to pray for everything. Pray for one another. Pray for yourselves. Pray in good times. Pray in bad times. Just keep praying. When you feel that God hasn't answered your prayer, pray some more. Pray that you may have the wisdom to know when He has answered our prayers. Pray especially that your light may shine to face the darkness that other men may see. The third thing a Christian needs to face darkness is the church. Oh yeah. The church that Jesus built is the same one that he died for. The same one which he loved just as a husband should love his wife. Christ gave himself for it according to Ephesians chapter 5. The church is the place where we teach the word of God. When we leave the church, our light should be recharged and ready to shine through the darkness. Now, I'll tell you something. A lot of folk don't come to church except in times of trouble. They think the church is just a place to drop all your troubles at. Well, in fact, it is, but we need to make sure that we're at church on a regular basis. The Hebrews tells us to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So when I think about it, the church that Christ built is the church that I speak of today. The church that Jesus Christ built, the church that Christ died for, the church that Christ gave his life for, and that God gave his only begotten Son. That's the church that I speak of today. And when you got up this morning, your mind should have been right there staying on getting to church. And I know some of us think that church doesn't apply to me. It only applies to everybody else. It doesn't really apply to me because I know how to live righteously. But I'll tell you something. Unless you are in the church learning the ways of God and studying the Bible and being taught the right way, you might need to reconsider your thoughts. Because there's a specific ways and means that we are to study God's word, that we are to teach and study God's word. Now, picking up your Bible every now and then is not studying God's word. Picking up your Bible only in troubled times is not studying God's word. That's not the right study of God's word. The right study is to read a little bit each and every day of your lives. God gave us a 24-hour period in which we can have everything we need to do. Doesn't it just seem logical that we ought to give him a few minutes back each and every day? 10 or 15 minutes you can give back. And some of you probably say, well, I got to go to work. Well, that's all well and good. Where do you think the job came from that you got to go to? God gave you that job, did he not? And I can't be late for work because I'll get fired. But yet I can come late to church because it doesn't make any difference. Well, you don't say that, but sometimes that's your action and that's the way you present yourself. But the church is the place, the one place that Jesus died for. And he didn't die for a bunch of churches. He died for one church. Just the one church. These three tools are what we need to have in order to keep our light sharp and bright so that this dark world can have hope to see Christ in us and that they may come to Christ by our light shining so that all may have the hope through Jesus who is our light. Now let's go back for a moment and look at the text again. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. You ought to stop all of that mumbling to yourselves and mumbling to everybody else and disputing everything that you are asked to do. There's a reason that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of what kind of perverse nation, a crooked and a perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to have our light shining. A city that sits on a hill must have a bright light shining. You know, otherwise it cannot be seen. So when you consider the matter and put it all together, you think that we need to have our light shining and that God is continuing to work through us. And sometimes I just ask myself this question. I often say this to you, but I'm going to say it again. Without the Lord in our lives, where would we be? Scary thought, as Brother Lowe said. But one thing I think about us for sure is that Jesus is so good to us. He has brought us I heard the older folks saying this, he has brought us from a mighty long way. You know, when you first came into this world, you couldn't do nothing for yourself. Nothing at all. You relied on your parents or a parent to give you feed, give you refreshment, and take care of you. Well, that's what we are as we sometimes think as children of God. God takes care of us. You don't take care of yourself. God takes care of us. And with these three tools, as I bring this lesson to a close, with these three tools, you are well equipped to fight off the darkness that's in this world. The darkness that's in this world can bring you down. The darkness that's in this world can throw you for a loop. The darkness that's in this world can bring us down to our knees. The devil can bring us down to our knees. When you consider his trickeries, his schemes, what the devil won't do to try to capture you. You know, you can be riding pretty high one day and be down on the ground the next day. It's only for the grace of God that you can stay above water, as the old saying goes. When I consider how good the Lord is to us, how he got us up this morning, how he made up in our minds to get up and go to church, how he dressed us, gave us food to eat, clothes to wear. And still there are those out there that say to themselves, I don't need God. Now, they may not use those exact words, but that's what they say in so many ways. Because they say, I'm not going to church. I don't believe in going to church. I don't believe that it's necessary. And there's some folk that believe that you can go to church on the internet. We had a lady here some years back. Brother Jackson is smiling. He knows what I'm getting ready to say. We had a lady here who told us, I'm not coming to church anymore because I can go to church and stay at home on the internet. I don't know whatever happened to that lady, but I haven't seen her anymore. If she's still with us, I hope that she is finding that the internet is not the same as being in church. Being in church and at church is two different things. You can look at the internet and find some people on the internet worshiping God, so they think. But it's not the same as when you come to church and be in church. Be in the church and you can physically touch and feel your next door neighbor. On the internet, you have no human interaction. That's a cold service, I would say. But when you're here, somebody is next to you that's got some kind of problem, that the same thing that you might be going through. And you can rely on one another for strength. Then, as I'm about to give this invitation, if you feel the need, you can actually come forward. I've never seen anybody can come forward on the internet. You know, years ago, they used to have the old radio evangelists who tell you to come close to your radio. But I don't care how close you get to your radio or to the internet, it's not the same as being in church. See, you're trying to stay in the light, not enter into darkness. You're trying to get in the light and stay in the light. You're trying to let your light shine. And if your light is shining, somebody else can see. And that somebody else, you might influence somebody to become a member of the Lord's body, the Lord's church, just by your light shining. Now, you all know that every year I like to watch the NBA players when they have the slam dunk contest. Well, I watch those young men. I watch them, and some of them jump up over four or five people and take the basketball and put it in the goal, in the net. Now, I think that's amazing, but guess where they get that strength and that ability from? Not because they've been in the weight room, not because they've been in training. That helps. But God is the one who gives them the ability, and gives them the ability. They make millions of dollars entertaining us. And some folk would rather stay at home and watch, be entertained by a sporting event than to come to church. But I say we all need to be in church. We need to fill the benches in the church house. We need to be right here, right now. And I don't know what your mind tells you to do, but if it's telling you not to come to church, you ought to get on your knees and ask the Lord to strengthen you and give you more faith. Because you need to stay in the light. And staying in the light, you can't go down to CVS and buy the light. You can't go to Walgreens and buy the light. You get the light from through the study of the Word of God and through Jesus Christ. Are you in the light? Ask yourself that question. And if you find that you're falling short, you need to go down on your knees and ask the Lord for strength. If you find yourself that you're not in the light, you need to come back and ask the Lord to give you some more blessings. God specializes in blessings. And don't go looking in the bargain basement for his blessings, because they don't come from the bargain basement. You know, Goldblatt's, Weebolt's used to have the bargain basement. They don't have that anymore, and you couldn't find Jesus Christ in the light there either. You need to go to the Word of God and then study it, that you may grow stronger in the faith. So how do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repent, confessing, and then being baptized. It's a nice day for a baptism. Brother Jackson is ready. The water is ready. But if you've already been through those steps and you've already been baptized, you need to come back to the Lord, because you've fallen off or fallen short. You ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the church to pray for you. Come forward. Ask the church. Don't tell them what you've done, but just let them know that you need to come forward and ask the church for forgiveness, for prayer. Amen. That you may grow stronger and continue in the faith. Yes. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Amen. Number 50. Are you washing the blood? Have you been?